Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. And we want to thank Israel for another day in His glorious creation. Welcome again to another episode of The Sound of Living Waters. I'm Joe of Israel, and here leading for me this wonderful night is my beautiful, real, red, serene Israel. Say shalom, Israelite.
Shabbat shalom, family, grace and peace, grace and peace. I mean, I'm always saying Shabbat shalom.
I know, man.
I know. Shalom, family, shalom.
Sabbath day is tomorrow, so you can point tomorrow.
Thank you.
You know, like I always say, you know, we can't wait for the Sabbath. It's almost like we're rushing time. But, hey, if the Sabbath can't get here no faster, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Amen. So, welcome to another episode. Today we're dealing with part two, Where Are the Dead, right? Where Are the Dead? You know what I mean? Part two, because it's like yesterday we dealt with the... you know, where are they literally? Are they in heaven? No. Is any of the prophets still running around on the planet? No. Jesus is the only one with immortality? Yes, according to the scriptures, according to the law and the testimony. And do the dead have any more interaction on the planet with the living? No. So they can't come back and talk with us and deal with us unless we use wickedness that the Lord called necromancers, witches, sorcerers, and things like that. So if you're talking to dead people, you're pretty much dealing in wickedness. So stop doing that if you don't know any better. And if you do know any better, you better watch it, because you'll mess around with a foul spirit that you'll never be able to get rid of. And the Lord will steal you with that thing until the day you die. Right? Right. So we don't want that. Well, what happened when you die? This is the age-old question. You see it once again. This is an age-old question. What happened when you die? What happened when you die is that you're out of here. Time out. Ain't no more going forward. It's like a concrete wall has been put in front of your being that you can't go no further. It's like a steel vault that you are bound in until the resurrection. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of it, you know, unless somebody go and use a necromancer, right?
Right.
People say, well, you can't talk to the dead. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Or else there wouldn't be no law against it. So you can talk to the dead. Oh, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, so, yes, you can. And the other thing is, where are they? Okay, so if you can talk to the dead, then where are they that you can talk to the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is that thing. Where is the dead. We're going to let the scriptures dictate that. So with that being said, we're going to open up and we're going to get into these scriptures because I think these are extremely important. You know, I think it's an extremely important topic, you know, to research, right?
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem, we're going to open up. Amen. Sisters, if you can, cover your heads. And brothers, if you can, uncover your heads as we stand and approach the Father. Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I read Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. In Jesus' holy and precious mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth the Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us and give them a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies. Endure forever. Amen.
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 So, once again, welcome to another episode of The Sound of the Waters. We're dealing with a really sensitive topic because a lot of us don't agree with the idea of what happened when you die. And, you know, we got a whole lot of various institutions give us our own, give us their reasoning or interpretation of what happened when you die. And that's fine. I think that's fine. You know, everybody got their own ideas and everybody don't read the word of God and everybody's not privy to this information. You know, and everybody don't have teachers. Right?
Amen.
So, tonight we're gonna let the word of God speak. I don't care what part of the world you're from. I mean, we don't thank everybody for listening to the Sound of Living Water, especially us that, you know, that love the Lord and various worlds that we broadcast in, and we wanna thank you for your time. We are going to deal with some things that some people may find offense to. And a lot of people, I'm just going to say this, a lot of people find an offense to the truth. All right? The truth is that it hurts.
Amen.
The truth is sometimes you're just not going to like it.
Sometimes.
Truth is like a surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hurt like hell.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you heal, you recover, and you better for it.
Amen.
You see? Mm-hmm. So this is that thing, for the most part. So with that being said, let's get into this. Let's start this, and first, let's do a quick summary before we get into the meat of this conversation. Let's start this in St. John, right? St. John, chapter 7 and verse 3. St. John 7, no, St. John 3 and verse 13, my fault. St. John 3 and 13. When you receive it, read.
Amen. St. John chapter 3 and verse 17 reads, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Did I say 3 and 13?
I thought you said 17. You
said I did 13. Initially, but I changed it.
Okay. See, I'm listening. John 3 and verse 13 reads, and no man has ascended up to heaven.
I absolutely said.
No man.
So, no man has ascended up to heaven. That's it. And Jesus, you know, people could have been saying, well, they're with Jesus now. Well, not according to this word. Not according to this scripture. No, they not. And if you're saying that he is, you just lied on his word. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, you go and lie about anything. Man, I just won me $1 million. But you better not lie on this book.
That's right.
You better not lie on this book. Right? Read on.
John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
So, look. He says that no man has ascended up to heaven, absolute, but he that came down from heaven, Christ, even so the Son of Man, which is in heaven, Jesus, he's in heaven, right? So he left the earth and went back to heaven. He's telling you nobody's there but him and the Father. So if we don't believe this, we're not going to believe anything. So you might as well just throw the book out, seriously. Because if you can't believe in Christ, forget about it, all right? So, if no man is in heaven, then is it possible that man is walking around on a planet, like in purgatory, right? Because people sit up there and they say, well, you know, the Bible or the pocketbook teaches purgatory. But then you say Enoch is walking around. Is that not purgatory?
Mm-hmm.
If Enoch is on the planet walking around, he's in purgatory. Period.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture said Enoch is clearly dead. We covered that last night, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to First Timothy. All right. First Timothy chapter 6 and let's pick it up at verse 14.
Amen. First Timothy chapter 6 verse 14 reads, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unbuckable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality.
Stop!
Okay. Who only hath immortality.
Stop. Okay, say it again.
Who only...
Stop.
Who only
Stop.
Has
how absolute is
only
yeah
has immortality.
Say it again. What do only mean?
Only.
Look at the definition.
Oh,
look up the definition because some people think only mean 2, 3, 4, 5.
Only means
I only have 2 men. How many?
Only means and no one or nothing more besides solely and exclusively one.
What?
No longer ago then. So
read that top. Read it again.
And no one.
No one.
Or nothing. More besides.
More what?
Only one.
Only one.
Solely or exclusively.
Jesus is the only one exclusively have immortality. So that erased Enoch.
One only.
Because if Enoch got immortality, then he's walking around. You know, because we misinterpret translate. You know. And then we went and reread that. We read what translate means. Well, no, we didn't read what translate means. We might do it tonight, but I think I'm not. I'm just going to keep on going. But anyway, who only has immortality, right? Okay. And what is immortality? Definition for immortality is what?
Immortality is the ability to live forever.
Stop.
Eternal life.
Stop.
Everlasting.
Stop. Only have the ability to do what?
The ability to live forever.
How is Enoch walking around? Because that means he has the ability to do what?
The ability to live forever, eternal life.
So you got to clear that one up to me.
Permanent.
If Enoch is walking around, this scripture is broken, Paul is lying, and he's a false prophet. Because Paul is prophesying. That makes Paul a false prophet if this scripture is true. It's not true. Mm-hmm. If Enoch is walking around, Paul will be a false prophet. Right? Right. So let's look at that. Let's go into Hebrews. Like I said, we're just going to do a quick summary. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's pick it up at verse 4.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 reads, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Abel is what?
Abel is dead.
Is that what that scripture said? And by him what?
And by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Verse 5
reads, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death.
What? Okay, wait a minute. We got a problem because the scripture just said no man is ascended into heaven, right? So Enoch ain't in heaven. Mm-hmm. And then the book just said that no man have immortality. So what is we talking about here?
What are we talking about?
Keep reading.
Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him.
Let me ask you something. Was Moses found? Can you find Moses' body?
No.
Okay. I want to say that because he hid his body too and put an angel around him and sealed it. Even Satan can't dig him up. Right? Okay. So, here's the thing. Now, let's read 9, verse 9.
Okay, let's go to verse 9. Hebrews 11 and 9 state.
Verse 8.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should
after. Abraham did.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 9.
All right. Verse 9 reads, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob.
Are they dead?
Yeah.
Okay, so far I got Abel is dead, Abraham is dead, Isaac and Jacob is dead, but Enoch is translated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Skip down to verse 13.
Amen. Hebrews 11 and 13 reads, these all died in faith.
Stop. How absolute is all?
Absolute.
Is it absolute, absolute? Or maybe it's a little bit absolute.
It's absolute.
It's absolute, absolute, isn't it? So what is translated then?
That
he should not see death, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Colossians chapter 1 and 13. In fact, pick it up at verse 12.
Colossians. Chapter 1.
Actually, pick up at 10.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 10.
Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 reads, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all
people. Did not Enoch walk with God?
Mm-hmm.
Did he please God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now Paul is talking about us walking with God, right? Worthy like Enoch. He's basically saying the same thing. We should walk with God like Enoch, right? Read on.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in
every good work. Ain't that what the Lord said about Enoch? Okay, go ahead.
And increasing in the knowledge of God.
Uh-huh.
Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Uh-huh. Amen. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Uh-huh.
Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
What? So you've been translated too. If you walk like Enoch with God, you will also be translated into his kingdom. Look up the word translate.
Mm-hmm. So translate. Move from one place or condition to another. To relocate, to transfer, move, remove, shift, convey, transport, transplant. But I'm going to do this 1811. Let me do the 1811. Hold on. 1820 dictionary, that's what I'm trying to say, sorry. The Webster Dictionary, 1828, I'm going to put in translate here. Translate.
Now, what year is this book printed?
This is the Webster Dictionary, 1828.
Okay. This is just before the King James Version. The New King James Version, the one that most people read without the Apocrypha in it. The one that most of us read now without the Apocrypha, that's the 1881 version. So this dictionary was printed just before that came out. So let's see what translate means.
Okay, it states here, translate, to bear, carry, or remove from one place to another. It is applied to the removal of a bishop from one see to another, to remove or to convey to heaven as a human being without death. And then it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see. And then it says, see death, which is Hebrews 11:15. It says, to transfer, to convey from one to another. It says, 2 Samuel 3:10, to cause, to remove from one part of the body to another, as to translate a disease. And then 5 says to change. And then 6, the last one says, to interpret, to render into another language, to express the sense of one language in the words of another.
Okay. And well, that dictionary gave us a biblical definition.
That's a biblical definition.
That's a biblical definition. Go to dictionary.com.
The dictionary.com says,
yeah.
Translate.
Because that dictionary gave us an interpretation.
It says to render in another language.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, to express in different, often simpler words. Number 3, to change from one form, function, or state to another.
Mm-hmm.
Convert or transform. And then B says to express in another medium. Number 4 states to transform from one place or condition to another.
So didn't he just say that we would be transferred from into his dear kingdom,
mm-hmm.
right? From this world.
To transfer from one place or condition to another.
So if it's up to him, we'll be transferred from this point to his kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That you also will be translated, right? Right. Okay.
Like this sentence says here in number 4. So number 4 says to transfer from one place or condition to another. So it says his remains were translated to San Juan de Puerto Rico, where they still rest.
Okay. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5 and let's pick it up at verse 12.
Romans 5:12.
Yeah. Romans 5:12, and let's see what it says.
So Romans 5:12 reads, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men.
Stop.
For that all
sinned. No. Death passed upon all men except Enoch, for all have sinned. Is that what that said?
Mm-hmm. It says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Except Enoch. Mm-hmm. It would have said that. 13, maybe they said that.
No, it states in 13.
What is it saying, 13?
For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Uh-huh. That's why, you know, people sit up and say, well, you know, your wife, you can't be having sex with your wife at this time or, you know, other than showing a period and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no law, then there's no sin.
Right.
So is she in Genesis, is she in Exodus chapter 20 and 8 and 14? No. Anyway, read on. I ain't going to.
Romans 5 and 14. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14 reads, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
So what do reign mean?
Reign means, let's see. Oh, you want me to go to, yeah, let's just keep it with dictionary.com.
Yeah, what do reign mean?
So on dictionary.com, it says exercise of sovereign power, widespread influence.
So death got sovereign power, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, right now. Go ahead.
Sovereign power as by a monarch, the period during which a monarch rules, dominance or widespread influence.
So death have a time window, right? Okay, but it's ruling, right? Okay, because there's going to be a time that death won't rule anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is this. So when he said death reigned, that was conscious speaking, not only the here and now, but tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, read that again. Verse
Romans 5 and verse 14 reads,
uh-huh.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Stop. Death reigned from Adam to Enoch. No, Enoch is not dead. So how can death have sovereign power between Adam and Moses and Enoch is alive? Because Enoch would be in between Adam and Moses. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the scripture just said that all of these died in faith, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the scripture said that Christ is the only one with immortality, right?
Amen.
Right. So if we are, now, people sit up here and say, man, I can't believe you're teaching out that apocryphal. And other people sit up and say, well, you're teaching out the lost books. But then one of the lost books is the book of Enoch, which says that he's still walking around. So you actually teaching what the lost books teach. Say what?
I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See that?
Uh-huh.
Once again, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Well, let's see if it changed. Read that whole 14.
Romans chapter 5, verse 14 reads, mm-hmm. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not similitude of Adam.
Did Enoch sin after the similitude of Adam? Yet death ruled over them too.
Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression,
uh-huh.
Who is the figure of him that was to come.
There it is. Read on.
15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ.
Enoch, no, you can't say this is by Jesus because you got to say Enoch is alive. So if Enoch is alive, then we got to put him here. Well, we can't put him there because Jesus is the only, right,
mm-hmm.
one with
immortality.
And we looked that up in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded into many.
Let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 11. Right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 11 and pick it back up at where we left off at.
Was it 5? I don't know.
No. He's 13.
He went down to 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 reads, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Uh-huh.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Translated from one place to what?
Another.
Another. They go to the other place that he's talking about here. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Skip down to verse 39 and continue.
Hebrews 11 and verse 39 reads, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
How is that? How is that?
That they without us should not be made perfect. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made
perfect. How is Enoch made? How is Enoch is walking around with immortality? No, Christ is the only one with immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. Once again, no man has been in heaven, no man can get to heaven, and we don't have enough lifetimes to get there.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Right. Like I said, I'm a sci-fi freak. You know it. I watch some of the worst B-movie sci-fi. I'm talking about, it looked like some of these costume people made, children could have made it in class, right? And I'll watch that because I like that kind of stuff. But it ain't what you're looking at. It's the story.
Amen.
It's the theater, right? Because
mm-hmm.
theater has stories you conveying a message, right? Okay, so we were sitting up there looking at Star Trek Next Generation. I was trying to get you to look at this.
The ninth degree.
Ninth degree. I'm trying to get you to look at you, what you said yesterday. I can't get into this. You did. The first time you looked at me like, oh, you trying to make me look at this is not doing it for me. You said that this is definitely not that. I said, no, you got to watch this. You're like, oh, let me take this. Man, I can't believe you making me look at this again.
No, what I said was,
okay.
I said, babe, come on now. This is the third time you're making me watch this. You made me put it on three times. You kept falling asleep on it.
Not me.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. So.
And then I said, then the fourth time yesterday, you like, put it on again. I'm like, oh, this is the fourth time.
And then you said, oh, I watched it.
No.
I'm like, no, you did it.
No.
If you did, you would have saw it.
Wait a minute, but I did watch it, but I wasn't truly paying attention because you were asleep. So I watched it while you were sleeping those three times that you fell asleep on it. But yesterday you were fully awake and you watched the whole thing and I was falling asleep and you could say, see that babe? You hear that babe? What just happened? No, if you did you see what just tell me what just happened? But I did. I understood. I said, oh, I see now. This is a good Star Trek. Season one, episode, what was it?
I don't even
but
know.
But it was really
it was
that was the best one I've ever seen.
And it was just it was if you didn't understand what they were doing,
right.
Saying,
right.
Then you missed it, right?
Right, but I paid attention.
Okay.
After watching it three times.
And then you still didn't see it. How many
not
other people, before. How many people watched that and didn't get it?
Right.
And they strategies, right? And how many people?
Right, they want to say, I'm a Trekkie,
right.
Yeah.
And didn't get that,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happened in the Star Trek? Well, people say, why are they talking about Star Trek Next Generation? Well, this is the thing. This guy named Barkley,
mm-hmm.
right? Who happened to be an engineer.
Yeah, he was an engineer.
He got influenced by a higher being that gave him how much percent of his brain?
It gave him 300.
Now, we only had a capacity of 100%, right?
Yeah, we only used 100%.
We only used 15.
I know that's so sad. We only used 15% of our brain.
At best, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but... Barkley ended up using 300% of his brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took over the ship.
Yeah, he took over the ship.
With his thoughts.
Yes, he did.
And then he said, if I unplug myself,
right,
I would die
mm-hmm.
because my body
mm-hmm.
couldn't retain all this information
right.
back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only reason why you,
mm-hmm.
right, this is why you got to be changed. Because in order for you to handle the information God is going to give us
mm-hmm.
is that you have a spirit body. Right. What do you mean information you get? Well, one is that you're gonna know all things.
Amen.
So you will have information not only of everything that's going on in the earth, under the earth, and everything that's attained to the earth, but you're gonna have information of every element within all things. That's not only from the earth and its atmosphere, but the cosmos itself. You're gonna know everything. You're gonna know what the Milky Way is, how it was made. You're gonna know how the vast universe is, how we want to sit at the scattering. You're gonna know all of that, right? But this is what they did. How did Jesus move through time, right? 100% of his cerebral. So Barclay, with 300% of his cerebral, moved an entire ship through time and moved it 30,000 light years from where he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long is a light year?
We looked it up, so let me ask my question.
So he said 30,000 light years,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
I'm going to ask my phone again. How many years is a light year?
According to cs.swan.ac.uk, one light year is equal to the distance that light travels in 1 year.
So it says it's about, let's do this. One light year. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so it says 6 trillion miles.
6 trillion.
So one light year is 6 trillion miles.
It was 30. He transported that entire ship.
Mm-hmm.
What he said, 30. So that'd be 6 times 30, right? So 6 times 30 is what? Or 6 times 3?
You said 6 times 3 is 18.
Do 6 times 30.
6 times 30 is 180.
180 trillion miles.
If I have a cold, they know what they're doing.
Ain't that something?
Whoever wrote that
knew exactly what they're dealing with because they came up with the Bible code in that. 180? That's a half. That's half. That's a half of a complete circle. They knew what they were talking about. That's why I kept saying, no, you're not watching it.
I watched it.
I mean, you did.
Thank you.
But I'm saying, no, you got to watch this because any other time we'd be watching sci-fi, we'd be watching the aliens get shot up and all that madness. But I'm like, no, this ain't what this one is about. This one is actually about how men actually have understanding that we do. Whoever wrote this episode had understanding of grammatic. You know, 180 trillion, not billion,
trillion
years from here. So there isn't enough time to even explore that type of distance or mindset. So the God of Israel is going to give us information. Now, wait a minute. Of 180 trillion years. And that's just the half of it. Because 180 is half.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just the half of it.
Amen.
So he's going to give us the mental capacity of 360 trillion years or everlasting. That's why your body had to be changed. That's because your body will not be able to absorb that kind of information. No, you have to be changed.
Yes, you do.
You have to be changed. So there's no way Enoch is walking around here talking about he's flesh and blood. And then people make stories up. Well, you know, the angels is protecting him and it's stopping. You can't read none of that. I don't want to hear that. Look, if you can't read it, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You know. But one thing I do understand is that the cosmos is, you can't measure it, right? But we know this exact number, because it got to be 360. Amen. But what 360 it is, that's another question. Is it trillion or zillion, right? Here's the question, and I'm gonna ask you to do my move on. What came first, the chicken or the egg? No, I'm just kidding. What came first? Watch this. Now listen. What came first, eternity or a moment?
Sorry, just a moment.
Why?
Because we're in the moment, like right now. We're in the here and now.
We're in eternity right now, too. So how is it that the moment was created before eternity, according to what you just, your mind would just told you, right?
Because we're in the moment.
No.
Okay, well, you said you're going to say eternity?
No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm asking you the question.
I'm just thinking of the moment. That...
What? Why? Are you going to look up the definition?
Mm-hmm, because we're in the moment right now. I mean, eternity is forever. Like, he spoke things into existence right now. A very brief period of time, short time, importance, now, significant, consequence, substance, note, mark, permanence, value, weight, concern, interest, gravity. Gravity.
Gravity was created in a moment. So what was created first?
Hmm.
Eternity or a moment?
A moment.
Why? You want me to say it for you?
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
What am I saying?
Because eternity was created in a moment.
Explain that.
This is.
I know eternity was created in the moment. It only takes just like that.
When he said eternity, that was then and now. That was in a moment. So he had to create the thought and the concept of a moment to even create eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Or else eternity couldn't. A moment can exist without eternity. Mm-hmm. But eternity can't exist without a moment.
Amen.
So a moment has to exist before eternity. You got
stuff. Well, is it bugging you?
Yeah.
It's really bugging you that I have something in my eye. Eye booger?
Kind of.
Would you stop? That's serious.
Okay.
That's why you're staring at me like that. Yeah. I thought you were all in love with me. You're looking at my eye booger. Just get it. You don't have to
like
say anything.
Like somebody sitting up there talking to you.
I know, but just get it. You don't have to say anything. Oh, my God.
Anyway. So once again, a moment had to be created before eternity. All right. That's a creation code. We're going to get into that when we get into the creation. We'll get back to those. But anyway, what came with moment? Gravity.
Yeah,
once
gravity.
Again, that's why I said gravity had to be created before eternity.
Wow.
Gravity had to be created before all
everything,
things because
yeah.
everything rotates. And without gravity, nothing rotates.
Amen.
So the whole cosmos is rotating. That's why you got Pleiades spinning around. That's why you got Saturn spinning around. You got all these planets is actually spinning around. And then you got our own Milky Way spinning around. You know, they say that the sun and the sun
mm-hmm.
is a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
It's moving in a vortex. And you think about it, it's moving in a circle, but it's going in a circle, inside of a circle, which is powered by gravity. What do you mean? Those of us that have been in carnivals ever been on a fast wheel, right? We called it fast wheels when it was Fun Town and stuff like that. But that fast wheel used to spin, then the floor dropped. It wasn't that you magnetic and you were sticking against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
When the floor dropped, it was the kinetic force of it going so fast.
The what force?
Kinetic. Or G-force. You got kinetic, which is... It's when there's friction, right? Okay. And G-force is actually the pull. So it went, the fast wheel went so fast that it pinned you up against the wall, right? And the floor dropped. That's gravity.
I know.
That's gravity. So that's how the universe is functioning. Mm-hmm. That's why he said the Lord move upon the circuit of the earth or the circuit of the heavens.
Amen.
He said not only the circuit of the earth, but the circuit of heaven. So the earth, the heaven is going in a circuit, which means that gravity is motoring. Now, gravity is indicative to time. What do you mean? Because without gravity, you're going to age.
Really?
No, as quickly. No, you don't. Without gravity, you don't age as fast. You see?
Mm-hmm.
This is that thing. Right?
Amen.
Okay. Let's get back to the message. That was a little bit.
But the whole purpose of you bringing up Star Trek was because what?
Because of the time window. The time window. That is to say that...
And that he used how much of his brain?
100%. No, 300%.
Yeah.
So that's to say that it's impossible for Enoch to be here because that means he would have to have 100% of his cerebral, which is no. You know, and if you look at Jesus, what happened with him? When he was translated, he was walking through time. What happened with Lucy?
Is it transfigured?
Lucy was transfigured.
Jesus was transfigured.
He was transfigured too. Because she
translated
started,
and transfigured.
She was translated too. Because she said, I became all things.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I can no longer dwell in this body.
She said, I'm everywhere.
I am. She became, but see, they switched it around. They made it a woman. She went from a primate to all things, right? That's the deal. 100% of your cerebral, not 300%, but since they said 300%, I was cool with that. But 100% of your cerebral will get you to be invisible or cause invisibility. You understand? Other words, I can be in front of you, and I'll be able to control your thoughts. You won't even be able to see me because I'll control your thoughts. You'd be like, where did he go?
Like she was doing in the movie.
Like I'm doing right now.
you think you're controlling my thoughts right now?
You don't see me.
You see you. I'm looking right at you.
It's a dream. It's a busy. But you get it, though.
I don't see you. I don't get it.
That's how Jesus moved through the crowd.
Yeah, that's how he moved.
Because they wanted to stone him.
Yeah.
And then he walked right through them with the disciples.
Yeah.
You know, but they're going to stone him. They're picking up stones to stone this dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he walked right through them. How did he do it? 100% of his cerebral. When you got that kind of mind capacity, not only do you have the power to alter the things that surround you like he did, you know, like the water, the air, the fish, right? The beast with the pigs, right? And the tree. He cursed it, right? Okay. He had power to do all of that.
Amen.
And then he was able to walk between men. That's what Elijah had a whole lot of sense. I think he had maybe 30% of his capacity.
Elisha.
Big time, because he walked through he blinded a whole army.
Yes.
So he had at least 30% of his brain.
Okay.
And Moses.
Oh, amen.
And Moses. They was using at least about 30%.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But Christ, when you talk about gifts, he said he had gifts without measure.
Amen.
Without measure. So whatever measure he gave men to use, he had it. And we don't have no comprehension of that because we never been able to obtain that. We can only read it and see it. You see? This is that thing.
right.
What? What are you looking for?
I was trying to find that scripture where the Lord said that we were going to do greater things than him.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other conversation.
I know, but he told us that if we believe it, that we were going to do greater things than him.
And I agree with that.
So that's if you tap in.
That's if you open up your consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's why he said, man, I love to talk to you about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Your ears is dull. And we don't realize the capacity that he meant or the gravity of what he meant by using his ear, your ears. You know, if he was able to explain to us the things that he would explain, why? Because our mindset definitely not there. But here's the thing. Adam had 100% of his cerebral.
And yes, he did.
Because he was taught expressly by Melchizedek. Expressly. So whatever number that he used to tap into Adam's mind that he was able to receive the information that he received, he set his mind free.
Amen.
Adam didn't have no bounds, no breaks, no barriers, none of that.
Amen.
Until sin came into the picture.
Until sin came and then it was the rest.
Yep.
I found it was John 14:12.
What it says.
It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
That's
bam,
cool. I'm with that.
Bam,
but
bam, bam.
When he say works, that's all good.
He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Can you walk on water?
Yes, if I believe that. He said.
No.
Yes.
I say if.
No.
If is a doubt.
I can.
Well, have you done it?
I didn't try. But look, this is what he's trying to tell everybody. Barely, this is when you use 100% of your cerebral.
Or you had a faith of a mustard seed.
Right.
So if you had the faith of a mustard seed, then you would be able to.
Just that little. And you see how small a mustard seed is. Use that parable.
Mm-hmm.
That mustard seed. So barely, barely I say unto you, he that believeth on me.
That's all a part of your brain you have to use.
Just the
little,
mustard seed.
That little bitty piece of brain. That's what he's
that
saying. Your brain.
That we're not using that.
That little bitty piece. We ain't even using that.
Is the mustard seed the pineal gland?
It probably is. It
the work that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. The Lord said, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Can you be
yes.
translated right now?
Yes.
Translate. Turn into a spiritual being right now. No, don't tell me that. You believe in God?
I do, but you know what? You know what stops you?
What?
Sin.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Then he just lied.
Who lied?
God.
Sin.
He didn't lie. We don't believe like we should. We don't have a faith like we claim.
Like we claim.
We're so full of it.
Yeah.
Because if we did believe in God, we'd be able to walk to a hospital and clean it out.
And heal all the people of COVID-19.
Yes. We have faith.
Cancer.
Faith.
Diseases, affliction.
Faith. Mm-hmm. If we believed.
Wake up the dead. Like you did Lazarus.
Faith.
And he, Lazarus
if you
dead
believe,
how many days?
If we believe. That's why I say, do you believe? Exactly. So that makes you got to go back to zero. You got to clean all this nonsense out that you
all
thought
that
you believed.
Sin, every belief.
I sin. Just the information that you've been taught what beliefs in.
Oh, so I have to go on my mind.
You have to wipe out the garbage
mm-hmm.
that you've been fed
mm-hmm. throughout my lifetime.
Yeah.
How you know what's garbage and what's not garbage? Exactly.
I didn't even know his head. I know there's garbage in mine, but I know the garbage in my head that I ain't trying to get rid of. But I'm just saying. But I do believe there's a God. But do I believe in him? I can't say I do, because if I did, I would be able to do what he said. I would be able to go into that hospital and clean house.
Amen.
So that's a knock on me, and I ain't ashamed to admit it.
Amen.
I'm talking about, I believe in Jesus, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can, you know, and I can do this, and I can speak in booty and all this other type of stuff. You know?
But I do believe this, and I said, Father God, I want to do this. You said we can do it. So,
but the only way you can do it is that you believe.
But I feel like I do believe.
Slow motion.
You do that with some grapes in your mouth. Can I get a hello? You know you love that man. He is funny. With some grapes in my mouth.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so let's get back to the script. So anyway, all these died in faith, right? So
yeah.
Where are they?
They're asleep.
Right? Okay. So now here's the thing. You know what God got us? You know what God got us talking about? The power of the mind, right? The power of thought. So without thought, you don't have faith, right? So the power of thought is what we're dealing with, right? So thought is life. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
No. Did you see that? Let's do it in slow motion. No, let's get. Thought is life. What do you mean? Without the power of thought, there isn't life. You won't be able to give life to anything. You won't be able to create. You won't be able to manifest dimensions or any of those things without the thought. Because that's the power of your cerebral, right?
Mm-hmm.
100% of your thought is consciousness. You have to be conscious. Right? So now that brings us back to this. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and pick it up at verse 1. So when we start dealing with dead, then you got to realize that thought is a big part of life. It's the main part of life. It's the main part of life, because your body can be pumping, and your brain can be not there.
Yeah, people living off of the oxygen tank.
Get this. I can take your heart out your chest and still have the beating.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't necessarily mean your body is conscious, mm-hmm. but your heart is still beating.
Yeah.
So you can be literally dead inside of your own body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's read that. Ecclesiastes 9:1.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 1 reads, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them."
See, he's the wisest man that ever lived. And what did he just tell you? You don't know nothing.
No man knoweth either love or hatred.
You don't know nothing. You don't even know. You don't know what love is. You think you know what love is, but you don't. And I'm going to tell you what this bastard language that we're using.
Babylonian.
Okay. This language that we're using, the word love, is actually a feeling to that emotion. In other words, if we use the word that really was to say love, then that would set us free. That would give us unlimited joy. Because you'll be speaking that presence in the being. This word is a replacement of that word. Read on.
Amen. Verse 2, Ecclesiastes 9:2. "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath."
But 2 said what? At the top, what did it just say?
All things come alike to all.
Stop. How absolute is that?
All.
So all of us went through it. That means Enoch, right? Still dealing with it. If we even believe the Old Testament and Solomon, what he just said, he would have said, except Enoch. He wouldn't include all. That would make him a false prophet.
Amen.
That would have made him a liar.
Amen.
So he would have said, except Enoch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read?
Ecclesiastes 9:3. This is the evil among all things that are done under the sun, and that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they...
This is an event unto what? One event unto what?
All.
This is one event that happened to everybody. So Solomon's saying it again. Everybody died. That include Enoch, or else you'd have said, some of us? Except Enoch. He would have had to exclude him. He would have said, but Enoch is translated. He would have had to put that there. But it's not there. It's consistent with the apostles. Read on.
Ecclesiastes 9:3, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead.
Continue.
For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion.
Continue.
For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything.
Stop. How absolute is that?
It's all. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not
anything. The dead don't even know they dead. Some dead do. I'm going to say this because they was getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But some people that just went to sleep in their sleep, they don't know they dead. Right? Read on.
For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten.
So the what?
Memory of them is forgotten.
So their thoughts is gone. Their thoughts is gone. Ain't no more, you know, I'm thinking about tomorrow or anything. Their thoughts is gone. The end of their thoughts, so the consciousness, if they was using 100% of their cerebral, it's over. Right? Read on.
Amen. Verse 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun.
So they can't come and help us. They don't have any more portion forever. How absolute is that?
Forever.
They can't come back
anything.
And they can't come and help you.
Amen.
You know. They can't come back and help you. They can't come back and save us. Because the book just said they don't have no portion among us anymore. Solomon said that. Now, I'm like this, man. I know. I have no idea of what it is to be a free man. Being born in this slave camp called America. Oh, and all you white people listening, welcome to the slave camp. You have no idea of what it is to be free. You thought you was free.
Amen.
Until they gave you that, what they call that? That paper they gave us to go to work.
Oh, essential?
Yeah.
Essential workers?
All of a sudden, you couldn't even go out to a house unless you had essential papers.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have slave master papers. Like we did back in the day.
Yes.
Where are you going? I got my master papers. I'm going to the store. Where was you going? I'm going to work and I'm going to the store. I got papers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm essential.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the 21st century slave camp.
Mm-hmm.
Dear white people.
Dear white people.
Dear white people. And yeah. They are screaming, and because you was free, but you see it now as being wiped away. They don't care about that. They don't care what color you are.
Not anymore.
No, they never did. It was always about ruling over every man on the planet. They don't care about you. The only thing they care about is their children and what they're going to get from the world. When people sit up there and say, well, how do you feel about Donald Trump? Well, let me see. Let me just do this right quick. I don't have his phone number. You don't have mine. I don't know his children. He don't know mine. I don't know where he lives, other than the fact Trump Towers is. He don't know where I live. Well, he can find out if he wants.
That's what I was about to say.
But do you really give a bad side? No. So, no, I don't feel about him because I don't know him. I don't know him. Don't talk. It's going to dry your mouth.
Would you stop? Keep it going.
You better have something to drink.
Would you stop? I have water.
Eat the pistachios.
Would
you crying.
Stop?
Like eating crackers.
Day, I was eating one. Nobody don't have to know these things. Just keep it going. You're doing an excellent job.
So are you. Listen. No, I'm just kidding, man. Go ahead. So, I don't know him. He don't know me. So I don't have an opinion about anybody I don't know.
No.
I don't care if he's on TV. I don't know him. I don't know Obama.
Amen.
I don't know Clinton. I don't know Nixon. I don't know none of them goofs. I don't know none of them people. And they don't know me, so what do I care?
What do you care about?
The truth.
Salvation.
End of it.
Okay.
Truth will set you free.
Amen.
So skip down to verse 10.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9
mm-hmm.
and verse 10 reads, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest.
So, ain't nothing else there. It all comes to an end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Psalms 146 and 4.
You said 146?
146 and 4. That's why I brought up, you know, this is why the Lord allowed us to talk about this consciousness thing, because it's life and thought. You see what I'm saying? 146
and 4. Psalms 146 and verse 4 reads, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. So his breath goeth forth.
He dies. His breath leaves his body.
He returneth to
now
his
this
earth.
Is the thing. Now get this. When his breath goes forth,
uh-huh.
he can't exhale or inhale. Your body is literally suffocating. So those of us that have asthma attack know what that is. Those of us that have been attacked by COVID know how that feels.
Yes.
That you can't breathe. You can almost feel that closure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the breath is leaving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once the breath leaves the body, your thoughts.
And that very day, his thoughts perish.
That minute. That very day. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing with what God allowed us to see through the star track, right? Go to Psalm 92 and 5.
Psalms 92 and verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Psalms 92 and verse 5 reads, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
How deep is that?
Very deep.
How deep is that being able to walk through time?
Very.
You know why? Because if you created time, your thoughts is way past anything that we can imagine.
Amen.
But once again, I say this. What was created first, a moment or eternity? My thought is, if a moment had to be created before eternity, because eternity was created in a moment. A moment wasn't created in eternity.
Amen.
Eternity was created at the time that it was created, and that was now, then. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So the consciousness of a moment had to always be there.
Amen.
That make his thoughts very deep.
Very deep.
we, you know, this is that thing, right?
Amen.
So Jesus using 100% of his arrebio, I'm going to say 100%. Barclay used 300%, but that was fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
But 100%, you only get to 100%. That's it. But I dig the idea to use three. Why? Because you get rid of the three zeros. What you have? You have consciousness of light,
right?
Water,
mm-hmm.
and earth. He had consciousness of those three things, and that's what they had brought up.
Amen.
So, what are they? Where are question?
Question.
This is the thing, and this is what we don't have that. I'm gonna say this is that thing.
What thing, though?
I would say this. Sleep.
Asleep.
They're asleep. Psalm 13:3.
Amen. Psalms 13:3 reads, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes. I sleep the sleep of death."
So death is what?
Sleep.
That's why some people never wake up. That's why you visit people in a hospital and they on that clock and it's like, you know, and then eventually they just don't wake up again.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Eventually they just don't wake up anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He called it the sleep of death, right? Go to Genesis 3. This is something you got to realize. Before, death entered into the picture, right? When he cursed Adam, he had to do something. And we missed this memo. And it's really slick. You know, this is what I call speaking in tongues. You know, not that madness, you know, that people portray, but this is really speaking in tongues. Watch this.
Okay, where am I going again?
Genesis 3. And at 17. Because he just got through eating from a tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, in fact, we read this story. We get all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So skip down to verse 19. Let's get to the meat of it.
Genesis 3:19 reads, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground."
Stop. So the dead go back to the what?
The ground.
Okay,
the
so the ground receives you back, right? Read on.
Return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken.
Stop. So the ground receives you back because you came from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But listen at this next statement.
"For thou dost thou art."
You are.
"Dust."
Right.
"And unto dust."
Wait a minute. Read on.
"And unto dust shalt thou return."
Stop. He just spoke to the earth.
Yes, he did.
What did he just say?
That you're going back to the earth.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
And that your breath returns to him.
No.
Your spirit.
No. No.
It says, "Dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return." You're going to return it?
No, he said, no, that's not what he said.
"For out of it was thou taken."
Continue.
"For dust
thou art, and
mm-hmm.
what
else? Dust shalt thou return."
He spoke unto the dust. That you're going to come back from it.
"Unto dust
thou shall return."
So he told the dust.
You're going to have to give them back.
Take him back.
Got to get his man back. So this here is actually 3:19 is death and the resurrection. He spoke death and then the resurrection. He had to speak death into the creation. If you sin against God, you shall surely die, right? So Adam sinned and he died. But unto dust, if you don't speak to the earth to give us back, the earth will keep us forever. So it has to be a law that the earth has to let us go. There it is. Or else the earth will hold us forever. Unto dust.
For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art. And into dust shall thou return.
See that? Okay. That's speaking in tongues like a mug.
Yeah, that is.
That's speaking in real tongues, Jack.
That's speaking in tongues.
Bigger.
Bigger. Amen.
So, where is man then?
Yes, where is man then?
Okay. Well, that's the next question. On to, he says, so now let's go into Job. Because, man, when the Lord fell on Job, well, he showed him a lot of that madness. Man, he showed him what death is. He said, now watch this. Go to Job chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
No. Go to Job chapter 10 and 21.
Job chapter 10 and verse 21 reads, before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death.
So, man go to the shadow of what?
Wow, death.
Death. So.
So when they're asleep?
Death got them.
So death is having you on hold.
Yes.
Under the altar, under the throne.
Or.
Okay, so you are healed by death, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a light and a dark.
Death is a spirit.
Right, so.
So he's created in light, period. All angels are created in light.
Okay, I get it now. So.
Death is an actual angel. That's his name, death.
So you're telling me when I was 8 years old and I had that out-of-body experience and I was in a coma for 3 weeks and I thought I was dead. So when the spirit was talking to me, which was light, a bright light, saying I was
talking
to the
angel told you not.
I was talking to the shadow of death.
The Lord just told me you ain't ready yet. So I'm telling you, it ain't your time. That's what that angel told you.
That was the shadow of death.
That was death. He's light.
So he is light.
He's an angel.
Because he's angel. But he's so he's not the Grim Reaper.
No, he's not the monster that we think he is. But he has a name, and it's called death.
Girl, that's making sense now. Okay. So I was talking to the shadow of death, and he said, it's not your time. It's not your time yet.
You were talking to death. You weren't talking to a shadow. But because it's light, because he's light, he casts a shadow. Without light, there's no shadow. So he's light. And we're in the shadow of it, if we so go there.
Okay, I get it. Now that's making a lot more sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
22.
Job 10 and 22 reads, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness.
See that? Light is there, but it's death because he got a hold on those that die. But once the second resurrection comes, he get another job.
So
he had to take the key. that's another time.
Okay. So the angel of light, the shadow of death. men are asleep. They're not awake. When they die, they die. They are physically asleep in the grave, in the dust.
Watch this.
Wait. So people that, you know, have these experiences and they come back from a coma or whatever the case is, they dealt with the angel of light, which is the shadow of death.
They dealt with death.
With death.
The angel of death.
The angel of death.
Or the angel death.
Angel death.
Right.
But people that are physically in the grave right now are asleep, and they don't know they're asleep.
They don't know.
Until the Father comes back. The
right.
Jesus comes back.
And death got them.
And death has them in a deep sleep right now.
Death has them. Yes. Well, the sleep is from God.
But death,
so death makes sure they don't
God.
Wake up.
That's his.
Right, and that they don't escape.
That's his position. Wait, so then you have these necromancers, these witches and warlocks. And
they can get them from death.
And how?
But they can't bring them back to this realm, but they can wake them up. They can't come back here. Because the book said they have no more portion forever to anything that is done of the sun. So they can't come back here. But the book did show us that Samuel talked to Saul.
Right.
But he didn't talk to Saul here. He talked to Saul from there.
Okay.
So he's the law that Solomon spoke is still in effect. So don't think Solomon didn't know that Samuel and Saul talked. That's why Solomon said they have no more reward or anything anymore that is done under the sun. S-U-N.
In this realm.
Right. In this domain.
Okay.
Now, people say, well, how do you know death is an angel? Well, go to Job 28.
Job
28? Mm-hmm. And
22. Job 28 and verse 22 reads, destruction and death say.
Stop. Death can talk.
Yeah, destruction and death.
So death is an angel.
Say.
It's a physical being. It got consciousness or else it wouldn't be able to speak. What else it says?
Destruction and death say, we have heard the same.
So death got ears.
We have heard.
And a mouth. What else?
Thereof with our ears.
Read that thing again.
Job 28 and verse 22 reads, destruction and death say, we have heard the same thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof,
see?
And he knoweth the place thereof.
See, God knows what it is, but man has had a peek at it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you go to this point, ain't no coming back. Amen? Watch this. Let's go to Job. Job 38, and let's pick it up at verse 17.
Job 38 and 17 reads, have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?
See. That's why man can't come back, because he got a gate there. Death has a gate, or else man, that light of man, right? The light of man, this is what casts the shadow on him, the light of man. What is this light? Go to John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. And pick it up at 1.
John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
That's his understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we just got to read in Job. Read on.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that
even
was
death,
made.
Right? Read on.
And him was life, And the life was the light of men.
Stop. Life is what? The light of men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read the next verse.
Verse 5 reads, and the light shineth in darkness.
That's why you got that shadow there. That's where there's a shadow of death. Because the light is in you. But if when you die, it goes into this place that it happens to have a gate. But it's light there because it's the light of man, right? So I'm not saying man is down there talking and kicking the bobos. I'm saying they sleep. But the light of man is there. That's why you have the shadow of death there, because the light is reflecting, and that's where it's reflecting off of him.
So is that the breath in the body, the spirit that goes back to returning to God?
That light is your consciousness.
So that is the...
Your breath is just air.
Instead of returning to God.
That's just air. And your spirit don't go to God because he just said that death got it.
The body
goes to the dirt.
The soul.
The soul goes to the dirt.
The spirit
can be many things. But let's deal with what's on the page. Light, death, shadow. Let's deal with what's on the page. Because when you start throwing them other equations in, you can get lost in the sauce.
So your light
is your thought.
Right.
That's your consciousness.
It goes to
sleep. But it's not dead.
So it goes to
death got it.
Right.
Look at this. Once again, read that 3 and 4. No, 4 and 5.
John 1:4. In him was the life. And the life was the light of men.
The life was what?
The light of men.
So in him was what?
Was life.
Life. Life. And it's the light of men. Life is the light of men.
Right.
Right? So when you die, the light leaves your body. And your light go out. That's why... When, you know, like now, if they actually put a thermometer, they can see that we radiating light,
mm-hmm.
whatever temperature it would be. You know, like they got the heat sensors, right? You'd be radiating light. But when you die, that light don't exist anymore. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Where do it go? To death.
Okay.
That's why there's a shadow.
Okay.
Because it's coming from there.
Okay.
It's the light of man that he got control of. That is to say death.
Okay.
Which happened to be the name of an angel who has a job.
Amen.
Every now and again, he get beat out of it.
How?
Necromancers.
Okay.
Every now and again, he get beat out of it. Every now and again, somehow they get past him,
mm-hmm.
and they can bring somebody light.
Mm-hmm.
Up.
Okay.
Not here,
mm-hmm.
but they can wake them up.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Let's go to Samuel.
First or second?
Yeah. First, let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy and pick it up at 18.
Deuteronomy 18.
Mm-hmm.
Which verse?
Okay. 18 and 9.
18 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9 reads, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you Anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer.
Look up the word necromancer.
A person who practices necromancy, a wizard or a magician, a sorcerer, a sorceress, a witch, warlock, diviner, wizard, medium, spiritualist.
Medium. Mm-hmm. Lawyers are necromancers, believe it or not.
A medium is a person claiming to be in contact with the spirits of the dead.
There it is.
And to communicate between the dead and the living.
Now, he said don't do this, right? So if he said there's a law against it, then you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, go to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and pick it up at 3. Don't skip around.
1 Samuel 28:3 reads, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land."
Stop. So Samuel was dead. He was dead as he's dead. His body is gone. He's been dead for over 30 days. So there's no more Samuel in this dominion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Saul is in trouble. He's seeing that the Lord ain't with him no more. So skip down to 6. Like I said, we're going to skip around a little bit.
Verse 6 reads, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit in attendance, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman."
What did you just say?
Enchantress. How do you say enchantress?
Oh,
yeah. That's a woman with a familiar spirit. That's what she's called.
Okay, I got you. All right, I see that.
And his servant said,
"Are you an enchantress?"
No.
All right, go ahead.
Ouch. And his servant said to him, You play that song and I put a spell on you.
Now we play
it. Yeah, you stop it right now. You do play that song. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay. So anyway, and his servant said to him, behold, you just told on yourself. There's a woman that has.
I played Louis Vega
version. Yeah. That's a good version.
Yeah.
And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. Oh, you're not going to say your famous little speech right there. Okay.
What? You talk about Samantha from Bewitched?
Yeah. Her name was Endor.
Yeah.
Okay.
They trying to consume now and Bewitched. Mm-hmm. They old.
Mm-hmm.
So they trying to say that her mama is the one that taught the song.
And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up?
You know what this tells me? Mm-hmm. You better not be making oaths. Even Saul swore to a witch, and he mm-hmm. kept his oath.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be sitting up there talking and making oaths and don't keep it.
Ooh, ouch.
You don't want.
Amen. 1 Samuel 20:11, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul.
See, the spirit said, that's Saul. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God descending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of?
He don't see him because he's in this dominion, right? He's in this domain or dominion, right? Read on.
And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul,
what?
And Samuel said,
the familiar spirit said. Mm-hmm. Is that what that said?
And Samuel said to Saul.
She got him, didn't she? Mm-hmm. She woke him up. But God said, don't do this. But she was able to do it. Look what Samuel said. Read on. Look what Saul said to Samuel.
And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?
See, he woke him up. Because he was asleep. He was in a dead sleep. He wasn't dead like his light was out. He was dead sleep. Because the book said they in the sleep of the dead. But she said, I see God's coming out of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. That means he had to be in light. Because only God moves in light. So he was light.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the light of man that she saw. She saw.
Mm-hmm.
That she saw.
Mm-hmm. Yep, see?
Read on.
And Saul answered, I am sore distressed. For the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answer me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do.
So Samuel was listening through the medium, which is the woman. She's the medium, right? He's talking to her. She's talking to him. He's talking back to her and talking to him. But God said, don't do this because it can be done. And the Lord allowed a king to show us that it can be.
Right.
That's why I said the light is the consciousness of man.
Amen.
Because up until that point, he was asleep. That's why I said, why are you disquieting me? Man, you done did all this. Now you gonna do this? Let's see if he ever say, you know, well, let's see what the next thing he says.
16. 1 Samuel 28:16 reads, then said Samuel, wherefore then doest thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thy enemy?
Samuel's talking. Not a spirit, not a ghost, not an angel, not a devil. It's him.
Amen.
That's that thing that Jesus said. He is the light of man. And the light of man is life. He gave this light to all men. That's why I said, well, that light that he gave to all men couldn't be consciousness of him. Because all men don't have consciousness of him. So when he said he is the light in the life of man, guess what? He was saying that light is this. It's consciousness because his body is gone.
Right.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Verse 17, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore has the Lord done this thing unto thee this day.
Continue.
Moreover, the Lord will also...
That's so bad news. Go ahead.
Verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee in the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shall thou and thy sons be with me.
Ooh.
And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines.
He said, tomorrow you're going to be in the gate.
Tomorrow
of death.
Shall thou and thy sons.
The gates of death is going to hide you, man. You're going to be with me here. But wait a minute. This ain't the lake of fire. This isn't purgatory. But people will sit up and say, well, there's no such thing as purgatory. Well, this is the closest thing you're going to get to purgatory.
for his own son to be with me. Amen.
That's not, wherever this is, it's not the lake of fire. It's not heaven. So, because Samuel's there. So he said, tomorrow you're going to be with me, right? So wherever this is, it's not the lake of fire or heaven.
Right.
Because Saul is not going to heaven, and he's not in the lake of fire. So where is this place?
Right.
It's the gate of death or the gate of hell.
Amen.
Hell is gate. I mean, hell is death. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Amen. 1 Samuel 20:20. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul.
Read that. I like to read this part to people because people want to talk about, you know, the dietary laws and stuff like that, right? Watch this. Read on.
And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, Behold, thy handmaid hath obeyed thy voice and have put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto the words which thou spakest unto me. Now, therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thy handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way.
Uh-huh.
But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed.
Uh-huh.
And the woman had a fat calf in the house.
Not a pig.
And the woman had a fat calf in
the
house.
So she just cooked the pig, Saul, and ate it with him.
No.
So even in his sins, he still wouldn't eat pig. So people that eat pig is worse than Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Look what else she did. Read on.
24. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servant, and they did eat.
Stop. So she made unleavened bread. And a calf.
And a calf.
Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. That was the last thing he ate. His meal was from a witch.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And she brought it before Saul.
But it was clean.
Mm-hmm. And before his servants.
With
and
beef and unleavened bread. You can't get no, it don't get no cleaner than that. It was no leaven in it.
Amen. Your alarm going off. Amen.
Okay, one more verse.
One more? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And then we're going to have to stop.
Amen.
Go to Psalms 107 and verse 16. In fact, pick it up at 14.
Psalms 107 verse 14 reads, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder.
Uh-huh.
Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death.
That's where he said, you're going to be tomorrow in the gates of death.
Near unto the gates of death.
That's where he said you're going to be. And death going to have you. So it's not like, you know, Satan got a name, death got a name, but they're both angels.
Mm-hmm.
They got jobs. You know, like Gabriel. I mean, when you read the word death, you're like, oh, man, that's a really bad word. But What are you going to call him, the Grim Reaper? I mean, that's his name. That's what it is.
Amen.
His name ain't dead. His name is Death.
Amen.
And he got a job. He keep the dead from doing what Samuel did.
Amen.
Walking out of the gate and coming around here into this domain. That's his job. That's why he said they have no more portion for evidence anything that is done under the sun. Samuel never left that domain. He couldn't because he didn't have a body anymore.
Amen.
That's why he was talking in the spirit through the medium, which is the woman. And they was having this conversation back and forth. Did she know what she was saying? Because this showed that it almost sounded like she didn't, because she said she seen that he was upset. Well, yeah, because you just gave him the news that he didn't want to hear. So what was you at? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole nother conversation.
Amen.
All right, so let's drop this here. All right? Look, tomorrow we're going to be dealing with the first fruits of the Spirit. You know, we're going to be on some lighter things. Some more encouraging things. You know, like some of us need that feel-good stuff. This is wisdom and knowledge. This is the stuff we need to know. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be talking to no necromancers or witches or what they call them, people that read your hands and your tarot cards and all that. Don't mess with them. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you end up there. Right? All right, so with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as we say here, you know, with the sounds of living waters, please read your Bibles.
Amen.
Read your Bibles.
Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know who he's talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.